My director making sure that we're recording. All right, this morning, we're going to, well, Brother Chris got us into Philippians chapter 4, but he gave us that first verse in there that talked about his dearly beloved, and he longed for my joy and crown to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So he's getting ready to start talking to the folks in particular, and today we're going to look at that. But let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll read a couple of verses, and then we'll get into what this lesson means. Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, I thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for those that are able to watch on the internet. Father, I just thank you that you have control of everything that's going on. Father, I know that as the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, that he loved the people in Philippi, and that he was concerned that things were going to happen to them, cause strife and a dissension amongst the people. But he knew that they were people that loved him, took care of him. And Father, he treated them as if he was a prized possession. Father, he thought that of every church that he helped establish, every Christian that he led to the Lord. Father, he held them dearly as precious children or as just a precious belonging, and knowing that one day he would stand in account before the Lord as to each and every one that he led to the Lord. Father, I do pray for each one of us in that same capacity, that when we lead somebody to the Lord or we disciple somebody, Father, that we hold that person dear in our heart and that we're able to share with them. And Father, maybe we won't see them until we see them in glory. But Father, I do pray that we will think of those often, for I know over the past many years since I've been saved, several people have come across my path. Some I've never seen, some I've known that go on to glory. But Father, I do hold each one dear. Some are mentors, some are disciples, some have been those that have been led to the Lord. Father, I do pray that you would just guide and direct us in how we look on each one of those. And Father, as we look into this lesson today, I do pray that you'll take care of, that you'll give us wisdom and understanding of how important it is for unity. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we look into this, we kind of have our lesson title. From last week, when Brother Chris left us off, about following those who follow Christ, having them as our example. And I think how often people look to us as an example. Maybe somebody that we've led to the Lord, maybe somebody that we've been helping disciple. We're examples. And it's important that as we go through here that we realize just how important we are as an example. Our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in some cases. But Father, but the way the Lord leads with us and gives us wisdom and direction, I do pray that we understand how important it is that we are being looked at. The world looks at us. They watch our steps. They watch how we react. And it's very important, especially in this lesson. But have you ever had, how many played catch here before? You know, we've all tossed a ball back and forth, right? Well, imagine, if you will, and of course with the camera the way it is, I'm not going to have four people come up and stand back to back and tell them, okay, you have to play catch. You have to toss the ball to each other, but you're not allowed to pass it. Think you'd be able to do that very well? No, we would. So what's the best way to do it? We turn and face each other and then toss the ball back and forth, right? Well, that's what this lesson's kind of dealing with, looking at that person eye to eye, seeing eye to eye with them. Because, you know, how many have been, playing ball out in the field and somebody throws a ball and then they yell, hey, catch! You know, and sometimes we might get beaned. Other times we're kind of like, oh, where'd the ball go? Or, you know, just any number of things like that. But it's nice to be told when the ball's coming, right? And so that you know that, okay, he expects that person expects me to catch this and hopefully toss it back, and they're paying attention too. So with this, the success in the Lord's work is based around people seeing eye to eye. And we've talked a little bit about that in previous lessons, about unity and how important it is that we see eye to eye. And if we look at verses 6 and 7 here, it says, "But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, what's interesting is we're going to start out up in verse 2. And could you imagine your name showing up in the Apostle Paul's letters? Especially when he says things like, "I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Cynthia." So I'm going to look at these people and call them Eunice and Cynthia. You know, it's probably the easiest way to look. Yeah. Trouble is I know a Eunice and I know a Cynthia. So, and fortunately, well, I've never seen them argue. I know who they are. The whims might know who I'm talking about. But anyway, it says, "I beseech them, and that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, like I said, past lessons, we talked about one like-mindedness. But can you imagine your name being called out like this? I'm begging you. I'm begging you both to have of one mind. And as I was going through the lesson guide and looking up and trying to figure out what was going on, of course, we're not told what they're arguing about. Who knows? But obviously it's enough that the Apostle Paul says, "Listen, you both need to be of one mind. You need to think on this." And I think the beginnings of the whole book of Philippians was kind of setting us up for chapter 4, where he's going to call out some people here. He's going to exhort some of them, and he's going to give accolades to some. But he's begging these two that, you know, that they would be unified in what they're thinking about. And it's one thing, it says, you know, he's not, as one person put it, there's no sternness, no lording it over their consciousness. Instead, he's pleading with them. He's begging them. So evidently, this argument or disagreement or however you look at it was enough that he was worried that there was going to be a dissension or a split amongst the people. And he wanted them to look at each other and view things as Christ saw things. And again, we talked about that previously, the like-mindedness. And in one lesson where we talked about who can know the mind of Christ. And as Christians, guess what? We have that availability. We're going to know it and when we get to heaven. But here on this earth, there's times that when we go into in Scripture like we should, we start understanding what's expected of us. But yet, they must have been laborers in the Lord. They must have been very prominent. You know, whether they're, some people called them deaconesses. Some even said, well, you know, this Cynthia, however that name, was actually a man's name. It could have been. One person even said, could have been husband and wife. Well, you know, I'm thankful that my wife and I see eye to eye on most things. And when we don't, we wrestle. Arm wrestle. Yeah. But what's nice about that is we see things eye to eye. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that all the marriages in this church, people see eye to eye. Of course, we don't see what's behind closed doors. And that's good. God sees that. He knows what's going on behind there. As a friend of mine was kind of laughing, we were talking about how, you know, in this era that's currently going on, people are observing us on all number of things. And of course, he started singing the little Santa Claus song, "He sees you when you're sleeping, he sees he knows if you're awake." Well, God knows that. God doesn't sleep. He takes care of us. He looks and knows what's going on with us every moment of the day. But the thing is dissensions are dangerous for the church and for believers. And that's what the Apostle Paul's stressing here. He's also pointing out that different points of view are okay, just dissensions or not, arguments. And there's things where we know that each one of us don't fully agree on, maybe, and in Scripture. We might see things differently. Some people, you know, see the epistles of Paul as the only thing applicable to the New Testament church. I think most of us here see it, the whole Bible, as applied to the church. You know, because without the rest of it, without the rest of the Bible, we don't have a foundation. And when people start saying, well, I'm only going to look at these and only go by those, that's their opinion. And it's nice when people say, well, that's what I believe, but you know what? I'm not going to create a problem over it. Others may be on door knocking, on their method for doing that. They have one way of doing it. Somebody else might have another way. They're not going to stand in front of those people and argue about, you know, how to lead somebody to the Lord. That's a good way for somebody to go, you guys go somewhere else and move on. You know, I've heard of it happening, but, you know, I'm thankful that they see eye to eye. We look at the tenets of what we believe, how we got saved through faith, grace in Christ, not adding or subtracting from that. We see eye to eye on that. Somewhere in here, these two were having a problem, you know, and asking for everybody to look at everything the exact same way would be impossible. And that's not what God intended. I mean, you take a look at all the authors of the Bible, and they all had their way of writing. They all had, and some of them never got to meet the others. I think of Peter and Paul, who did get to see each other. They didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And both of them bring that up. But you know what? Peter, when he was admonished by Paul, later on gave accolades to Paul for identifying something and helping it clear up. And that's what's important, because each of us has our own understanding of things in the Bible. Some have got a better understanding than others. And thankfully here, we have some very well-educated people in the Bible, but they don't lord that over us. And they don't say, well, you know, I've got a master's degree in such and such, and you just study the Bible. That's all. Yeah, I'm better than you. They don't think that way, and I'm thankful for that. And a good church that loves the Lord, and the Lord is the head of that church, it's evident, because people see eye to eye. They may have differing points of view. And that's what's nice, you know, after church and before. It's interesting to get in some of the conversations when maybe something that was taught in that lesson, say, hey, you know, when I saw that, this is what do you think about such and such? And a great discussion comes out, and both walk away with the learning. So the thing is one person may be able to discern a distinct shade, for instance, and somebody else might be colorblind. And it's interesting. I don't know if anybody ever worked with somebody that's colorblind, but in the electrical industry, that's dangerous. used to be, you couldn't be a telephone technician if you were colorblind. I don't remember how many numbers of colors there were. Austin, you remember how many colors there might be for telephones? I think it was like 100 and some different colors, you know. And different shades, different applications of it. I worked with a young guy, greatest guy in the world. He was a good electrical technician. But we finally figured out why he was putting the ground wire in the wrong position. He couldn't see green. So we had to make sure the label was in place when he started put there. But at least he was working. But that's interesting, you know, to think about, you know, those of us that have most ranges of color, and somebody that's colorblind, you can't see certain colors. Some see black and white. Some see shades of gray. You know, they can kind of depict colors, and they know, okay, you know, it's orientated this way, I'll look at it. So it doesn't mean that we're not seeing the same thing. They're seeing wires, but they're not seeing it the way we see it. So no amount of argument or persuasion would enable, say, the second person to see what that other person's seeing. And it takes somebody to sit down and say, why is that? And then you can find out why. And of course, with this young guy, we said, okay, you're only going to wire up this set of the circuits. We'll let somebody else go over here. Or if you do, don't feel bad if we come back and look, okay? He said, yeah, no problem. And nobody knew that he had this, I won't say it was a problem, it's just that it was something that was deficient compared to somebody who had regular vision. So differences exist in our understanding. You know, and I mentioned earlier, reading the Bible. Those of us, we can read through the Bible, and we're going to pick up different things in different ways based on where we are at with the Lord. And you can reread it a second time, and you might get something completely different. I've found that out. It's going through the Bible. Some things step out at me, and I'll make a note of it. And when I come back to it the next time, something else might come up. You never know. Each person pulls it differently. It's like I love Brother Chris when he presents his lessons. He presents them from a very expository point of view because he's very well versed in that stuff. And I don't know if any of you have had a chance to look at some of his commentaries that he's written, but they let you in on how he thinks. And I tease him, I says, here you are, a mechanic that understands Bible Greek and Hebrew and is able to write. And he just kind of goes, well, yeah, I guess, you know, that's something I learned, you know. But he loves doing that, and it's exciting. It's his point of view. Pastor would have a different approach. Austin, Brian, Charlie, the ladies, all, you know, when we have our, we'll see things personally. But yet, something was happening here. You know, differences do exist for understanding, and that's a great thing. We're able to share with one another. You know, and we need to be patient with each other, especially if there's something that maybe we've learned over time and really had a hard and fast understanding of it. And somebody comes up and goes, you know, I was looking at that, and this is what I see, and it might be completely, well, I won't say opposite, but it might be definitely different from yours. It's time to say, well, why do you think that? And then you can share it back and forth. That obviously wasn't happening with these ladies. Being of one mind's paramount, and you're still able to have differences of opinion, and that's important. You know, if we look here, that the be of the same mind in the Lord, and like we went through a study earlier, and we'll look at a couple of verses here before we finish up about the same mind or like-mindedness or the mind of Christ. And that's that whole idea, is that we understand that we're left on this earth for one thing. Well, actually two. Glorify God and bring others into the kingdom. That's really what we're there. And anything else that we do is actually great. You know, we disciple, like this says up here, you know, preach to every creature. And if we read through the rest of the Gospels, we're supposed to teach people. We're supposed to make disciples. But we glorify God in what we're doing. And if we're not glorifying God in what we're doing, we probably ought to question what's going on. And then we're leading others to the Lord. We may not be there when they pray. It's like Brother Greg Virginio talks about. He goes, you know, I've led thousands of people to the Lord. I don't know how many prayed and asked Christ to save them, but I've handed out thousands and thousands of tracts, and I've presented the gospel to thousands and thousands of people. And that's what's going on here. How many tracts have we gone through here, Pastor?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Well over 10,000 probably. You know, in a town of 58,000 people, I'm sure at least a tract has gone to almost every household. We'll say that. And how many of them prayed and asked the Lord to save them? Several, but not 10,000 of them. But we've led them to the Lord. You know, it's like leading the horse to water. You can't force them to drink. That's exactly what it comes down to. So it's important that we have the same mind in the Lord. These ladies obviously didn't. There was something going on there that was creating a potential rift. And, you know, this is, if both had the lowly mind of Christ And if both sought to be subject to the Lord, even though there were differences of judgment, each would respect the other's viewpoint and neither would try to control the other's conscience. We're seeing that today. Oh, you can have your own opinion, but you gotta respect my opinion. That's not happening. Most people don't. And if you talk to a lot of the people, it's their way or no way, which is sad. Of course, with the Lord, it's his way or no way. It's either you accept the Lord or you're going to go to hell, period. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's the absolute truth. Some people will go, well, you know, that's just what you say. Well, no, that's what Scripture says. It says that. I don't care what they think. That's their opinion. They're entitled to that opinion. They can keep spouting that opinion all the while when they go to the great white throne judgment and then they stand in hell going, but I don't agree with this. Well, guess what? It's not going to change where they're going to end up. But the thing is they would not try to control another's decision. Of course, the lost would tell us that's what we're trying to do to them. When in reality, we're pointing out that, no, we're pointing you away from danger. Remember the lesson that we had quite a while back, and there were some pictures I showed about a danger sign, you know, a warning that the bridge is out ahead, or warning there's high water, how important it is to point out danger. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul was doing to these ladies here, pointing out a danger point. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to the men of low estate. And when they're talking about, well, you know, maybe they're not as learned as you are, but go to their level and help them bring up that understanding. But don't lord it over them. Say, well, I've been to Bible college and you don't know anything about this. That's not what it's about. And we look back at Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's what the Apostle Paul's trying to show the Philippians, that you need to be of one mind, to be thinking that way. And being that, it's the look to the salvation of souls. Glorify God and look to the salvation of souls. That's where we need to think about that. And we go, you know, when we look back at the distinctives that we set up in our bylaws, you know, we go through there. They're Bible-based. There should be no argument about those. You might approach some of them, but having a difference of opinion on the deity of Christ, that shouldn't be there. Was it the virgin birth? There shouldn't be any argument on that either. You know, the autonomy of the local church, he points out in Scripture. Each individual church, it's not the building, it's the people. And that's so important. There, you know, Pastor mentioned the other day, well, my church, or not him, but he was, people have come up to him and says, my church is in the woods, you know. And I think my wife even found out, my religion is the same as that tree's. Yeah. And she pointed out, she goes, well, let's put it this way. You're created, the tree was created, but the tree, when it dies, it dies. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't live like a human being. We're created for God's use, period. The religion of a tree is not my religion. And so that's so important for us to understand. In the book of, you know, when we went through the Corinthians study, they were distracted through everything that was going on around them. Not that the Philippians weren't, but these people were openly being distracted. They were being challenged for what they were doing, and people were making a big deal of it in the church. They were letting sin be gotten away with. And until the Apostle Paul sat down and pointed out to them that, no, you can't be doing that this way. You have certain liberties, and maybe you have victory over this one area, but your other brother might not be as strong as you. Be polite to the guy. If he doesn't want to eat meat offered to the idols, and you're at dinner at his house, or you offer him over there, don't offer idol meat to him. You know, be understanding of it. You know, maybe you've got victory over something and somebody else doesn't. That's very important for us to realize as Christians. You know, and back at Romans 11:34 says, for who knoweth the mind of the Lord, or who hath seen his counselor? Who's Jesus' counselor? He's God. He's our counselor. So our like-mindedness results in producing a pure Christian love. He pointed that out earlier, that our like-mindedness is that way. You know, and we should know that that's understanding. The Christian love is that understanding that, one, glorifies God and shares the gospel, brings it out. You know, Paul's desire that the dissensions should cease. And that's what he's trying to draw out. And it's like, it's regard or to seek the same thing from each other. And, you know, here, we're fortunate. We have folks that aren't here right now. And they understood that the governor's executive order was meant that they didn't need to assemble. That was their opinion. We don't look down on them for that. We made provisions so they could be with us, maybe not physically, but via the internet. Some of us read through that and interpreted that portion to say, hey, we can keep our social distancing here, and we can keep the number below what the government's requested, and we can still meet. That was our opinion. They don't look down on us for, you know, those that aren't here, they don't look down on us for that. They don't, well, just because you guys are meeting, we think that's completely wrong. No, they said, we understand both ways. And some people, out of concern for their health, have said that same thing. So this is kind of an interesting time that, you know, we are looking, one, out for each other, and we are also wanting to glorify the Lord in what we're doing. We don't have divided interests. Outside of the church, we might have different avenues we do. We collectively believe what our constitution, our bylaws have been set up and Bible-based. We don't, we're not pursuing different ends and means. We don't, you know, get up here and, well, you know, I'm the deacon, so therefore I'm going to be doing da-da-da or whatever. Like that show, a sitcom years ago, Amen, you know. That deacon was being paid. He had his special parking spot, and woe be it to anybody that parked in that spot. And he ran that church and told the preacher what he was going to teach. Thankfully, we have a man that is our shepherd. He knows who's leading him. I don't think we've ever had to tell you what to preach, have we, Pastor? Well, we have, kind of. Questions for the pastor, you know. So in that sense, I guess we kind of do. But he lets the Lord lead him. And there's never been an argument. We don't indulge in counter plans or purposes, you know. We're not subversive and trying to, you know, go around the pastor. And I've known of churches that have had that issue. They've had this group over here that is set on getting rid of the pastor for some reason or other. We had this other group that's, you know, loving him to the end, and we don't care if he's broken every law there is, we're going to follow him to the ends of the earth. You know, there are a few churches that did that. You know, man broke the law, that's okay. As long as he doesn't do it again, we're going to follow him. Okay. Well, just stand in judgment. We don't seek honors, officers, or our offices for ourselves. What we do seek is to glorify God and to share the gospel. And that's the absolute goal of what we've done. The same mind or like-mindedness gives us an armor against strife. That's the one big thing out of this. When we're unified in our belief, we have somebody come through the door that starts spouting all sorts of other stuff, and he might get a crowd of people around him that might usher him out the door. Or find out, well, why do you believe this way? You know, this is what, and show them in Scripture. Oftentimes people coming in expressing that don't have anything to stand on. So how would the mind of Christ help two people resolve their conflict? Oh, well, that's kind of a rhetorical question. If they're looking like-minded with Christ, they're going to see eye to eye on things. They may have a difference of opinion on things, but able to share it with each other, not to knock down or drag out or create dissension. You know, in Corinthians, Paul pointed out that there are people that, I'm of Christ, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. And there were people that had those separations. He was afraid this might happen with the Philippians. And that's why he talked specifically to these two, to have, as it says, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that here, that, you know, he addressed these two women specifically, but he was summoning all believers to think the same thing, share the same basic direction and goals of the gospel, work together for the goal, for the sake of the gospel. Their common bond in the Lord will be a unifying factor. And that's what it comes down to. We've had some churches that say, well, you know, drop all your dogmas and this and that, but let's just focus around the love of God. Then when you ask them about salvation, they go, oh, we don't talk about that, about the blood of Christ. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about the love. And that's where we all part company. That's so important, unification, like-mindedness, being our unifying, the unifying factor. And like it says, being an armor against strife. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Father, we thank you for your guidance and direction. And Father, that how the Holy Spirit has control on each and every one of our hearts individually, but also is collective in the in directing us. Father, I am so thankful that we have the truth of your word. The world can say that it's just an opinion. It's just another literature book. Father, we know it's the absolute truth. It's the only truth that man can rely upon. And know that every word in it is breathed from you and given us the direction we need in our lives, that we would glorify you in everything that we do, and that we would help usher others into the kingdom through sharing the gospel. And Father, we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.